guys and everybody. Welcome to all the new subscribers. Thank you for subscribing. Please like, share, and subscribe if you like this content and you want to be up to date on all the new videos and audios that I post, as well as the podcast that I'll be resuming very soon. And please make sure you have your notification bell turned on. And I know that YouTube censors this channel and shadow bans it. So some of you who have your notifications turned on will still not be properly notified. So just, if you don't mind, periodically check back and see if there's new videos, because people have repeatedly complained to me that they were not notified that I posted something. So sometime last week, I did a video on Kyle Reese, an audio rather, and I was questioning and I was saying, I wonder why Kyle Reese is back. He must have some more things to say. And if you go back and reference that video called "So Kyle Reese is on Me Like White on Rice," which I will link in the description box for those of you who didn't see it, be sure to check the description box of that video as well, because there's a podcast episode that I did. It was a portaling report where I encountered Kyle Reese, a time portaling or time travel report, okay? And so I mentioned last week that I wasn't sure why Kyle Reese was on me, the character. And I also said that the ancestors had been on me recently about speaking more about time, the nature of time, time travel, portals of vortexes, etc., etc. So now I understand why, because yesterday a reader told me that a lot of us are about to get our powers back, and she specifically said, some of you have the power of teleportation. Now, you can call it astral travel or you can call it teleportation. She specifically said, some of you have the power of teleportation. So, this ties in with why Kyle Reese has been, or was on me, and why the ancestors were on me about time, time travel, and so on and so forth. I also did a lot of information, about, not a lot, but I mentioned 2021. So this morning I was led to go and look at some things for 2021. And one of the things for 2021 that's coming, mind you, I mentioned January 21st, 2021, January 1st, 2021, and February 1st, 2021, February 2nd, 2021, February 21st, 2021. But now I have come across some February 12th, 2021 energy, which is 2-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. Okay, that's the numerology of February 12, 2021. So what's coming out on that date? A Marvel movie called The Eternals. It is an American superhero film based on the Marvel Comics race of the same name. Okay, it is intended to be the 25th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The release date will be February 12th, 2021 in the USA. It's going to star Kit Harington as Black Knight, Richard Madden as Icarus, Ma Dong-seok as the Forgotten One, Angelina Jolie as Thena, Gemma Chan as Cersei, which I told you all Cersei was a goddess. Interesting that Cersei was a character in Game of Thrones, and they have Kit Harington, who played Jon Snow, in this movie too. I'm starting to get a little deja vu, because I think I remember seeing this before. I'm beginning to remember that I think I saw this before. Salma Hayek is going to play Ajak. Lauren Ridloff is going to play Makari. Barry Keoghan is going to play Druig. Brian Tyree Henry is going to play Phaistos or Festus. Leah McHugh is going to play Sprite. And Haz Slayman, he does not have a listed character just yet. So, what is The Eternals about, according to International Movie Database? The Eternals is a race of immortal beings who lived on Earth and shaped its history and civilizations. Sound familiar? Sound like those old souls that I tell y'all about? Sound like those star seeds that a lot of us are? A race of immortal beings, demigods, demigoddesses, who lived on Earth and shaped the history and the civilizations. Okay? Now, I'm pretty sure that this movie is going to have a strong time travel element. I don't know the whole history of the Eternals, but I'm going to have to look into it. It's just interesting that this came up to my spirit this morning, because yesterday Kit Harington was quoted as saying the Eternals got delayed because of coronavirus, and he was quoted as saying that he doesn't know what's going on right now. He's going to be playing the Black Knight. Now, these are going to be new superheroes. Okay, it says one of the exciting 2020 Marvel Cinematic Universe, or MCU, projects that fans were really excited about was The Eternals, as it marked a new beginning for the universe and allowed new superheroes to be added to the fold. It's not just the immortal storyline that has people excited, but the fact that so many talented actors are joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe because of the Chloe Zhao directorial she's going to be directing. We get to see Angelina Jolie, Richard Madden, Salma Hayek, Kit Harington, and Kumail Nanjiani, amongst others, enter the superhero world for the first time. Now, the shoot was taking place in London, with high-octane action sequences being shot. The production had to be stalled because of the ongoing pandemic. Moreover, Marvel also had to reshuffle the release dates, with Black Widow getting the Eternals previously scheduled November 6, 2020 date. So the Eternals was supposed to come out on 11/6/2020, and instead Black Widow is going to come out on that date, and the Eternals is going to be pushed back to February 12, 2021. Right now, unless they push it back again, that 1111111 whatever portal, you know that that's tied to time travel, right? The reader that said that, a lot of us that told me that a lot of us are going to get our gifts back or our powers back, like teleportation, she was specifically talking about divine counterparts, divine feminines and divine masculines that have done the work, that are at that level, and or who you might call twin flames. Okay, now this is very interesting, because she said you're gonna get your powers back, a lot of y'all gonna get your powers back, specifically teleportation. The storyline or film synopsis of the Eternals is the Eternals use their superhuman powers to battle the evil deviants, capital D, the evil devils. Let me read you a little bit of comic history, just to let you know that I don't make this stuff up. The Eternals are a race of humanoids appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics, fictional race. But we all know that they call a lot of stuff fiction that's real life. Truth is stranger than fiction. They are described as an offshoot of the evolutionary process that created sentient life on Earth. The original instigators of this process were known as the alien celestials, aka extraterrestrials, aka star gods and goddesses. And they intended the Eternals to be the defenders of Earth, which leads to the inevitability of war against their destructive counterparts, the deviants, capital D. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Deviants are in a minute. The Eternals were created by Jack Kirby, and they made their first appearance in the Eternals comic book volume number 1, July 1976. Okay, now I'll link this in the box so you can look at it and click on other links in here. So, it goes on to say that February 12, 2021 date is coming. Then it tells you a little bit about the comic book history And then I'm going to tell you the fictional history. Alleged fictional history, right? It says, when the Celestials, capital C, visited Earth 1 million years ago and performed genetic experiments on early proto-humanity, or early humans, they created two divergent races. The long-lived Eternals, who were immortal, and the genetically unstable and monstrously grotesque Deviants. These experiments also led to the capacity for superpowered mutations in humans. They also performed this experiment on other planets, such as with the Kree, and or the Kree, which is K-R-E-E, and Skrull homeworlds, Kree, Native American, Kree, C-R-E-E. A lot of, like I said, Pleiadians include Native Americans, Africans, and African Americans, and other indigenous people, okay? Now, there are other races out there, like the Arcturians, the Procyons, and so on, and the Lemurians, and there's a lot of other races out there. Some people are actually mixed, right? You know, it's like how in Ifa, or or traditional African spirituality or African traditional religion, you can be mother of Shango, you can be daughter of Shango and daughter of Oya, or you can be daughter of Yemoja or Yemaya and Obatala. All right, so you got a male and a female counterpart that you can be descended from. This is the same concept with the extraterrestrials and these gods and goddesses, okay, and these races, these homeworlds, as they call them. So it says, despite looking human, the Eternals are much longer lived. They were not originally fully immortal, and that kept them from having much contact with their human cousins. Eternals have a low birth rate. They can interbreed with humans, but the result is that they always have a normal human. Although Joey Athena, who is the son of Athena, Athena, the goddess, Joey Athena. See, I didn't even read this part before I told you a male and a female god and goddess give birth, right? Joey Athena, son of Athena, son of Athena, capital T-H-E-N-A, and a normal human seems to have become an Eternal with long-lived properties and powers. Despite this, the Eternals have in general protected the human race, especially from the Deviants, with whom they have always had an enmity or a war with. They ain't never been friends with them, okay? Sounds like me, right? Always had a motherfucking problem with the dark side. Not saying that all dark side is bad, but I'm saying me and demons have always fought. I'm telling you that. It's in my DNA, it's in my genes. I ain't never belonged to them. I ain't never been with them, okay? A lot of you all out there have this story in this archetype. It says the Eternals also developed advanced technology. This is your ancient Atlantis, your Lemuria, your continent of the ancient lost civilization of Mu, which I talked about in the Nipsey Hussle readings. You know? Long ago, a civil war broke out amongst the Eternals over whether to conquer the other races, with one faction that was led by Kronos. What does this sound like? Wrath of the Titans, right? See, Clash of the Titans was number one. Part one with Sam Worthington and the Kraken and stuff in Hades / Pluto. Okay? Part two was Wrath of the Titans, which I think is still on Netflix, but I haven't checked. Wrath of the Titans showed Hades and Zeus going together against Kronos, Father Time. Who is Kronos? Saturn, father of karma. Okay. So it says, long ago, a civil war broke out amongst the Eternals over whether to conquer the other races, with one faction that was led by Kronos or Saturn and the other by his warlike brother Uranus. Who is that? Uranus. You know, I've been hearing recently people talk about Taurus and Uranus energy right now and how it's going to result in a lot of karma and a lot of problems and war and issues with people. Now, you can do the astrological significance research on Uranus in Taurus or Uranus in Gemini, because we're technically in Gemini energy. All right, we got a lot of retrogrades going on right now. This is definitely affecting the behavior of people with the protests and everything that's going on right now. So it says Kronos's side actually prevailed, and Uranus, so Saturn's side won, and Uranus and his defeated faction left Earth and journeyed to Uranus and his defeated faction left Earth and journeyed to Uranus, where they built a colony. Okay. Some of Uranus's group actually tried to return to Earth to rekindle the war, but they were attacked by a passing Kree ship and forced to land on Saturn's moon called Titan. Now, they're mentioning Saturn here for a reason, because like I said, Kronos is Saturn. Kronos with a K, and Kronos with C-H-R-O-N-O-S, Kronos, chronological, time, Father Time. Okay. Understand, momentarily I need to do a segue right quick, and then I'll come back to this. The Kree, weren't they a race in Star Trek? Or Star Wars? Was it Star Wars or Star Trek? Yes. It says the Kree were a blue-skinned humanoid race native to the planet Hala. They rule the Milky Way. And this is Star Wars history. They ruled the Milky Way and its satellite galaxies through the Kree Empire and promoted the religion of the Supreme Intelligence. They conquered Earth, and although often contemptuous of humans, they gave humans position of power within their empire and even the priesthood of the Supreme Intelligence. Kree people are also sometimes called pink skins. This is crazy, y'all. Okay, so let me go back. I just noticed something. That Kit Harington interview where he just said that he doesn't know why it got pushed back, he doesn't know what's going on currently. Guess what the name of the website is where I saw that interview? Pink Villa. So you have the pink skins, and then you have him commenting on a site called Pink Villa. So the Kree were also called pink skins. It says later on, wars with the Shi'ar Empire, the Skrull Empire, and the Galactic Republic eventually saw the total annihilation of the Kree's interstellar regime. They are mixing Star Wars with Marvel, because I just told you. Okay, so this was such as the Kree and the Skrull homeworlds, and they are mixing it in this article. So they're using the Kree and the Skrull homeworlds from Star Wars to use it as an example of what goes on in the Eternals. So it's the same kind of mythology, if you will. So some of Uranus's group soon tried to return to Earth to rekindle the war, but they were attacked by a passing Kree ship and forced to land on Saturn's moon Titan. So they are intermingling Star Wars with Marvel Cinematic Universe, okay? They're on Titan, Clash of the Titans, Wrath of the Titans, as I said. There they built another colony. The experiments that were performed by the Kree scientists on a captured Eternal ship, I guess on a captured Eternal. No, so they performed experiments on a captured Eternal. That led them to go to Earth and perform their own genetic experiments on a group of humans, and they created the Inhumans by doing that. Now, before I go further, I want to go back and tell you a little bit about the Deviants, and then I'm going to tell you about the Inhumans. So the Deviants are also known as the Changing People. They were dubbed the Deviants by the Eternals, and they are a fictional race of humanoids appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics. They are an offshoot of the evolutionary process that created sentient life on Earth that were instigated by the alien Celestials, and they wage war against their counterparts, the Eternals. Listen closely. According to the account of one deviant in the 2006 comic book miniseries, the deviants were actually created as a delicacy to be consumed en masse by the Celestials at periodic intervals once they multiplied sufficiently. However, the veracity of this has yet to be proven. While the Eternals possess godlike power and are generally physically beautiful by human standards, the deviants, who sometimes refer to themselves as the changing people, are for the most part hideous, again by human standards, with each member of their race possessing some random physical or cosmetic mutation that is by celestial design never repeated within the subspecies. So who does this sound like? The chimeras that the fallen angels created in the Book of Enoch and the Book of Genesis. The chimeras, the mixing and the breeding, inbreeding of different animal species, mixing plants with animals, mixing animals with humans, creation of lycanthropes, vampires, skinwalkers, and so on and so forth. This is the same story being told in a comic book. Okay. The celestial design never repeated itself. So if there was a mutation, in other words, the divine or the benevolent angelics, if there was a mutation, they never wanted that repeated. However, the deviants actually liked to make these weird and grotesque creatures. Extremely mutated or deformed deviants are referred to as mutates, and some of the monsters of myth and legend have in fact been identified as the deviant mutates. Chimeras, as I said, Loch Ness Monster, Sasquatch, etc., etc. Some of these mutations can provide superhuman abilities, but their powers are usually not as great as those of the Eternals. Of course, they're not going to be as great because the Eternals are righteous. The deviants, I'm telling you that, that's not in the article. The deviants are religious, revering the dreaming celestial or he who sleeps in darkness. Well, who is that? The Dark Lord. They credit him with their creation and claim that he granted them dominion over Earth, an agreement they believe was later broken by the treachery of the other celestials. They have one or more holy books. The book, it says the only book that has been named thus far is the Book of Krask. K-R-A-S-K. The deviants had already developed advanced technology such as genetic engineering when humans were still living in caves. So going back, let me tell you about this. This is a long history, but I want to give you a little bit of information on the Inhumans. The Inhumans are a fictional group of superheroes, as it says about the others. The Inhumans first appeared in Fantastic Four number 45 comic book edition, December 1965. Though the members of the Inhumans would include Medusa and Gorgon, which Medusa is a Gorgon. It's a type of demon, okay? At the beginning of the Kree-Skrull War, like I said, this is Star Wars intermingled with Marvel. A lot of people don't notice this. I've been thinking about it for a while, but this is a clear mixing of Star Wars history and Marvel being the same kind of history, just a continuation in different characters. So at the beginning of the Kree-Skrull War, millions of years ago in Earth time, the alien Kree established a station on the planet Uranus, which was a strategic position between the Kree and the Skrull empires. Through their work at this station, they discovered that sentient life on nearby Earth had genetic potential invested in it by the alien celestials. Intrigued, the Kree began to experiment on Earth's then primitive race, Homo sapiens, to produce the genetically advanced Inhumans, aka mutants. Their goal was apparently twofold: to investigate possible ways of circumventing their own evolutionary stagnation and to create a powerful mutant race of soldiers for use against the Skrulls. Although their experiments were successful in creating a strain of humanity with extraordinary abilities, the Kree abandoned their experiment because a genetic prophecy had predicted that the experiments would eventually lead to an anomaly that would destroy the Kree Supreme Intelligence, okay? So this goes on, and it says their test subjects, which were the Inhumans, went on to form a society of their own, which thrived in seclusion from the rest of humanity and developed advanced technology. Experiments with the mutagenic Terrigen Mist, which is a process known as Terrigenesis, Earth Creation, Terra, Earth, which gave them various powers, but caused lasting genetic damage and deformities. This led to a long-term selective breeding program in an attempt to mitigate the effects of these mutations. Atalan's society and culture are predicated on a conformist belief system that permits individuality as it applies to genetic development and physical and mental ability, but demands rigid conformity in that each member of society is assigned a place within that society according to those abilities following exposure to the Terrigen Mist. Who is Atalan? Atlantis. Or what is Atalan? Atlantis. Attilan. Atlantis. However, as an exception, a member of the royal family named Crystal did marry outside the Inhuman race to the mutant who was known as Quicksilver. And if you know Fantastic Four history, you know who Quicksilver is. The Inhumans were led by their king named Black Bolt and his royal family, consisting of Medusa, Karnak the Shatterer, Gorgon, Triton, Crystal, Maximus the Mad, and the canine named Lockjaw. Both Crystal and Medusa have been members of the Fantastic Four. Crystal has been a member of the Avengers as well. Triton, y'all know that's a god, right? Karnak the Shatterer, temple at Karnak, Egypt. I already said what I said about Medusa and Gorgon. Maximus the Mad, I have to do more research into that. But Black Bolt guided the Inhumans through some of the most turbulent times in their history, including several attempts by Maximus to usurp the throne, revolts by the worker class, which led to their eventual emancipation, and attacks by human renegades, the kidnapping of Medusa, the destruction and the rebuilding of Atalan, aka Atlantis, and the revelation of the Inhumans' existence to humanity. Now, if you remember Aquaman, the one that they just came out with a couple years ago with Jason Momoa, in Atlantis, they were very strict about him playing his role, just like it says in this myth. In this comic book, they said they have strict and rigid conformity. Each member of society is assigned a place within that society according to those abilities following exposure to the Terrigen Mist. Okay, now I'm going to go back to the Eternals main page. One day, so this is going back to where I talked about the experiments that were performed by the Kree scientists. They performed experiments on a captured Eternal, and that led them to go to Earth and perform their own experiments on a group of humans, which ultimately created the Inhumans. So Medusa, Gorgon, Crystal, Maximus the Mad, Triton, and them, and Atalan, those were the Inhumans, aka people who were a part of the Fantastic Four. So it says, one day Kronos's or Saturn's experiments in cosmic energy caused a catastrophic release of energy throughout the Eternal City, which was known as Titanos, which was on the moon Titan. And it destroyed it and activated latent genes in the Eternals and caused a disintegration of the scientist's body. The Eternals now found that they could channel large quantities of cosmic energy themselves, granting them near godlike power. The accident left Kronos in an immaterial state or disembodied, so a new leader had to be chosen. For the first time, the Eternals merged into a single being, which was known as the Unimind. To decide which of Cronus's sons, whether it be Zuras or Alars, should be the new leader. Zuras was chosen to be the prime eternal, and Alars chose to leave Earth to avoid causing another civil war and journey to Titan. Is Alars Allah? Is Zuras Zeus? Maybe Alars is somebody else. I need to do some channeling information. I need to channel information on that. But Zuras, son of Cronus, and Alars. Zuras is most definitely probably Zeus, being that it says prime eternal. And Alars, that could be, I'm not sure who that is. I'm not going to say it. So Alars chose to leave Earth and wanted to avoid causing another civil war and journey to Titan. There, Alars found that he had a war, allegedly, that was caused by the Dragon of the Moon, had actually erupted on Titan and wiped out all but one member, a woman named Suisan. Alars fell in love with her, and in time they repopulated Titan. Due to the mix of activated genes from Alars and the unactivated ones from Suisan, these new Titanian Eternals are not as powerful or immortal as the Terran or Earth Eternals, but they are more powerful and longer lived than the earlier pre-Civil War Titanian Eternals. So it's a new race, in other words, of Eternals. And so it says, while Zuras ruled, three new Eternal cities were built. Zuras, I told you, is Zeus, right? It says the first was Olympia. Didn't Zeus rule on Olympia? Mount Olympus, the Olympians, the Titans, the Olympians versus the Titans. Okay. The first city was Olympia, located in the mountains of Greece. I didn't even see that part. I was just reading one word at a time. Near the main portal between the Earth dimension and the Olympians' home dimension, which led many ancient Greeks to confuse some of the godlike Eternals with members of the Olympian pantheon. So in other words, a lot of the Greeks mistook demigods and demigoddesses for real gods and goddesses, like whole, for members of the Greek Olympian pantheon. So in other words, that would be like your Perseus, who's half human but has god powers, or god like superhuman powers, right? So Perseus was confused for a god. That would even be your Yeshua, you know, in human form but with god power. That's just, you know, that's kind of a vague allegory, not exact, but you get what I mean, I think. Eventually, an agreement was reached with the gods where some of the Eternals, such as Thena, aka Athena, would impersonate the Olympians before their worshippers. So they would pretend to be gods. Ye shall be as gods in the Bible. Ye shall do greater things than me. Ye shall get them to worship you. Greater things. It says, an agreement was reached with the gods where some Eternals, such as Athena, would impersonate the Olympians before their worshippers. The other two Eternal cities were Polaria, that was located in Siberia, and Oceania in the Pacific. See, I told y'all about when I did that episode called Lemuria. Lemuria, M-O-O-R, L-E-M-O-O-R-I-A, Moors, Atlantia, Russia, Siberia is Polaria, Oceania, or the civilization of Mu in the South Pacific. 18,000 years ago, the Celestials returned to Earth. The Deviants attacked them, but the Celestials counterattacked. You can't make this shit up. It says, resulting in the sinking of Mu and Atlantis and much worldwide havoc. Y'all, I couldn't even see that part. It was scrolled down on the page. And I didn't read this. I'm just going intuitively off of it. I didn't read this before I got on here. Oh my gosh. The Eternals helped rescue many humans. An Eternal named Valken was entrusted by the Celestials with an artifact of great power for safekeeping. At some point during the early centuries, Icarus and the Eternals came into conflict with the immortal mutant named Apocalypse. Who is this En Sabanur? Apocalypse. And I've talked a lot about him on my channel. Apocalypse from X-Men Apocalypse. That's who they're talking about. The conflict ended when Icarus and the Eternals defeated him. Icarus actually believed that Apocalypse was dead. But 1,000 years ago, the Asgardian god Thor encountered some Eternals, but the encounter was erased from his mind to prevent him from learning about the Celestials who were about to return to Earth. An Eternal named Ajax became the Celestial spokesperson and put himself to sleep when the Celestials left, and then he waited for their return 1,000 years later to judge humanity. Ajax. He waited. Okay, so he put himself to sleep when the Celestials left to wait for their return 1,000 years later to judge humanity. Ajax was the Celestials' spokesperson. Put himself to sleep when the Celestials left. That is a riddle, in my opinion. That is a riddle pointing to a widely worshipped god right now on this planet. The 1,000-year reign, where it talks about in the book of Revelations, judgment of humanity. They wait for the Celestials to return. They wait for the chosen, the Most High's anointed ones, the 144,000. 1,000-year reign. I got to do some more information. I got to do some more contemplation about that, because this is intermingling even Bible right now. Okay, so it says, goes on, talks more about some more scientists and stuff. And it says, at some point, Thanos, who I told you, Thanos is based on, I told you this months ago, I told you Thanos is based on Thanatos, T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S. Thanatos is spirit of death, a demon of death, or a spirit of death from Greek mythology. So they shorten his name to make it easy to pronounce and to not be so obvious. But anybody that knows this myth and is connected spiritually and they got their crown chakra on fleet, they know that the Thanos is Thanatos from Greek mythology. It's the same. Okay. So at some point, Thanos of the Eternals of Titan, because you know Thanos came from Titan, nearly destroyed their colony, but they rebuilt it and would help Earth's heroes oppose him on several occasions. So this was your Avengers Infinity War, basically. Even though it doesn't say that here. So when the Celestials returned to judge the worthiness of their creations, ha! Told you, the 1,000-year reign of judgment. When they returned to judge the worthiness of their creations, meaning the humans, a few years ago, the Eternals found themselves clashing with the Deviants again and decided to publicly reveal their existence to humanity. So in other words, we got our powers back, baby. The Eternals revealed themselves to humanity when they clashed with the Deviants. That is your end times apocalyptic war. Zuras, or Zeus, feared what would happen if the Celestials actually judged people unfavorably. They encountered Thor again and were attacked by Thor's father, Odin, and the other Olympian gods, who tried to prevent their interfering with the gods' plans to attack the Celestials. Eventually, the Eternals decided to help the gods and formed a unimind, or singular consciousness, to assist the Destroyer's assault on the Celestials. Who is the Destroyer? I promise you it's going to say... Okay, so... The Destroyer is a fictional magical character appearing in Marvel Comics. Usually depicted as an opponent of the Thunder God and hero Thor, it is in fact a suit of Asgardian armor animated by magic. The Destroyer is Shiva. Okay? Shiva. Now, because this is a masculine energy, I'm not going to say it's Kali Ma, it's Shiva, in my opinion. but I'm going off of what I feel intuitively. So, you know, whatever people feel they want to change up about this as they read it, if they decide to read it, they can do. This is all up to decoding your own personal deduction and, you know, however you feel about it. So the Eternals actually helped the gods. So that means they had a lot of power. And they formed a unimind or universal consciousness to assist the Destroyer's assault on the Celestial. So they actually wanted to help the Destroyer assault the Celestials. So the Celestials, as I said before, are benevolent angels. That would be like your Valkyries in Thor Ragnarok. They were forced to dissolve back into Eternals by the Celestials. And the shock of the attack killed Zuras, or killed Zeus. Before his spirit fully left the material plane, he instructed his daughter Athena, or Athena, to take his people to explore space. Most of the Eternals did so in the form of a unimind, or just cosmic journeying or astral travel. But a handful of them, those that were most heavily involved in the earthly affairs, actually remained behind on Earth. Since then, the Eternals have helped Earth's heroes, particularly the Avengers, against several menaces. They also discovered the existence of the Titanian Eternals, which is the same as the Eternals, but slightly different. They're like a different generation. So this continues on. When Celestials began raining down on Earth, like I said, this is like your Valkyries in Thor Ragnarok, aka your benevolent angels. When Celestials began raining down on Earth, the Avengers are forced to reunite again, and just in time to see the arrival of the final host, which is composed of dark Celestials that are each physically unique and were the ones who easily took down their brethren. So you got the Celestials, which is benevolent angels, and then dark Celestials, which is fallen angels. In an attempt to learn more about this new breed of Celestials, Iron Man and Doctor Strange traveled to the mountains of Greece in order to try to get some answers from the Eternals. So the Eternals are like your oracles, your mystics, your spiritually gifted people, your spiritually in tune people. That's why he went to the mountains of Greece to try to get some answers from them. When Stark and Strange arrived, there were no signs of life to be found, as almost all the Eternals were dead, and Strange deduced that the wounds were actually self-inflicted. Only Icarus was left, barely alive, and that reveals that the Eternals were never meant to protect humanity as they thought. Instead, they were actually created to cultivate them, as the Celestials saw the human population as a useful pathogen to act as antibodies against the Horde. This discovery drove all the Eternals mad, which either made them turn against each other or commit suicide. Icarus is also able to reveal that the only way to prevent the final host from unleashing the Horde is the Unimind that sends a message into Stark's mind before the last Eternal dies. Powers and abilities. Due to the, and this is the powers and abilities of the Eternals. Now, when it talks about the Horde, they're probably talking about the hell gates being open in the demon horde, you know, like in Lord of the Rings, that it's kind of like the Orichai and the orcs being unleashed on the people in Middle Earth. That would be like the Horde. Okay, I didn't even look up the definition of the Horde, but I know intuitively that's what it's got to be. Powers and abilities. Due to the cosmic energy that suffuses an Eternal's body and the unbreakable mental hold they have over their physiological processes, the Eternals of Earth are effectively immortal. They live for millennia. They do not fatigue from physical exertion. They are immune to disease and poison and are unaffected by environmental extremes of cold and heat. Most cannot be injured by conventional weaponry, and even if somehow they are, an Eternal can rapidly regenerate any damage as long as they are able to retain their mental hold over their bodies. This mental bond can be broken, however. So in other words, if they have a strong, the Eternals, if they can maintain that mental bond to heal, they will heal. This is so interesting, y'all, because like I said, that whatever hole was in my heart chakra or whatever injury was there, it closed up because I willed it to close up. Okay. There are a lot of you out there, you don't know who you are. Okay, so it says, as long as they can retain their mental hold over their bodies, they can heal or regenerate any kind of damage. In the 2006 series, or comic book series, it was also stated that the Eternals are able to absorb oxygen directly from water and therefore cannot drown. In the same series, Icarus was plunged into molten metal and experienced great pain, but he had no physical injuries, which the Deviants attributed to a force field which protects Icarus even when he is unconscious. It is unclear if all Eternals share this full degree of protection, so some may not have that full degree. At one time, the official limit to the Eternals' durability was such that they could only be permanently destroyed by dispersing their body's molecules over a wide area. However, this degree of extreme durability was revealed to have increased to a much greater degree, as demonstrated in the 2006 Eternals Limited series. It is shown that even total molecular dispersal is insufficient to destroy an Eternal. So it don't matter what happened to you, Vessel. You can't fuck with us, baby. That go out to all you deviants out there. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing. I'm not kidding. I'm messing around, right? I'm being facetious. Even total molecular dispersal is insufficient to destroy an Eternal. That's why they're called Eternals. As long as the quote-unquote machine, the machine, which is a restoration device of celestial origin, possibly the Earth itself. So the machine could be the Earth itself. Keeps running. As long as it keeps running, any destroyed Eternal will eventually return, as was the case with Icarus after he was, or Icarus. Icarus meaning Die Another Day, meaning James Bond's movie, Die Another Day, Icarus, the eye. Go back and watch that movie if you want to know more about Icarus. I'll have to talk about it another time because I don't want to be confusing and intermingle James Bond with this. Icarus. I was pronouncing this wrong. It's not Icarus, it's Icarus. Icarus, the eye, Ichthys, the fish. That's why I said here, they can absorb oxygen from any body of water, just like a fish. Icarus. As long as the machine, which is a restoration device of celestial origin or angelic origin, which could possibly be the Earth itself, keeps running, any destroyed Eternal will eventually return, as was the case with Icarus, after he was completely vaporized by a particle accelerator as a part of a series of experiments performed upon him by the Deviants. Y'all, when I mentioned Shiva earlier, it was on the tip of my tongue to say CERN because they have the Shiva statue on the courtyard of the CERN facility in Geneva, Switzerland, but I didn't say it, and I should have said it, because now it's talking about how Icarus was completely vaporized by a particle accelerator as a series of experiments performed upon him by the Deviants. That's why she was on their courtyard, because he's a destroyer, and he's aligned with the Deviants. That's why Thor went up against him. The destroyer, Shiva, is actually a suit of metal, as I said earlier. The same cosmic energy, or this same cosmic energy, can be channeled for a number of superhuman abilities. All Eternals are potentially capable of superhuman strength. The limits of their strength can be increased as a result of years of focusing some of their energy towards that purpose. Projecting concussive blasts, heat, and or blinding flashes of energy from their eyes and hands. They are capable of flight and levitation. reading and controlling minds, generating illusions, teleporting vast distances. Though most Eternals prefer not to use this ability, as many find it uncomfortable. And according to the 2006 Eternals comic book series, it also greatly depletes their store of cosmic energy. Here we go full circle. Y'all, this is a very long page and a very long article. And I told you that some of us are going to get our power back, like that reader said, including teleportation. And here you go. Here's your confirmation. Teleporting. Transmuting objects, altering both their shape and composition. The extent of this ability can vary from one Eternal to another. Force field generation, which provides them an invulnerability to harm, meaning can't nobody touch you. Black magic or not, it bounces off. In addition, groups of Eternals, as few as three at a time, can initiate a transformation into a gestalt being called the Unimind, and is a vastly powerful psionic entity that contains the totality of the powers and the abilities of all the beings that comprise it. So this is from X-Men. What did they call that? What is that that Professor X used? Cerebro. Yeah. This, that Unimind that they're talking about with the Eternals, is like Cerebro, where it connects all of them consciously and he can tap into it and locate all of the mutants at one time, all of the demigods and goddesses at one time. Some Eternals choose to focus on a particular power in order to increase their effectiveness with it. Cersei, Cersi, which is also Circi, Cirsi, and Cersi is spelled in Game of Thrones, for example, has developed the power of transmutation further than any other Eternal. Additionally, some Eternals choose to focus their cosmic energies into other non-standard abilities. Icarus, for example, channels cosmic energy to greatly enhance his senses, while the Interloper uses his to generate fear in others, and Makari uses his cosmic energies for super speed. Now, it continues on. About vulnerabilities or limitations. Now, I'm not going to read all of this because I'm going to wrap this up. And I'll have to do a part two. It says the recent retcon, R-E-T-C-O-N, of the Eternals' origins and abilities introduces a significant limitation to their powers and possibly to their free will, with numerous references to the Eternals being programmed or hardwired. They cannot attack their celestial masters for any reason, meaning the benevolent angels, whether they make a conscious decision to do so or even if they are tricked into accidentally striking the beings. Any such attempt shuts down the body of the attacking Eternal and is implied to be an automatic defense mechanism of the Celestial's armor. On one occasion, when the Eternals attempted to form a Unimind with the intent of keeping the dreaming Celestial asleep, they were immediately shut down and discorporated back into their original, meaning disembodied, back into their original. Hold on, it just froze up, y'all. They want to fuck with this shit, man. Okay, I lost my place. Okay, I found it. It was frozen for some weird reason. Never does that. It says, so they were immediately discorporated back into their original individual forms before they could even form a non-aggressive plan of action. Eternals can seemingly also not leave the solar system. Furthermore, Eternals are compelled to attack and neutralize any being that attempts to engage any Celestial with hostile intent. This compulsion extends even to the dreaming Celestial, which the Eternals, or whom the Eternals, were forced to defend, even as they feared that the newly awakened Celestial would destroy all life on the planet. The Eternals are aware of their role on Earth, okay? And the duties and constraints placed on them by the Celestials. Icarus rather sardonically describes himself as a, quote, humanoid-based repair and maintenance unit, left behind by unknowable alien gods to make sure that Earth is still here and in good shape when they get back, end quote. Zuras or Zeus phrased the same concept more philosophically. Quote, we are the Eternals. We are the court of last resort for humanity and for all living things on Earth. We do not choose sides. Countries are lines in the sand. Empires rise and fall. We are timeless. We will still be here tomorrow and 100 centuries from now.